Dear brothers and sisters, today, as I've already said, the church takes as its theme its joy in the knowledge and love of God. And again, as is customary in Advent, the figure of St. John the Baptist is at the center of our reflection. Before considering St. John directly, we must first be clear about what it means to rejoice. What does it mean to rejoice? The original word in Greek, chairo, means to delight in God's grace, to experience God's grace, to experience His favor, and to be conscious and therefore glad for His grace. In fact, the Greek word chairo is directly connected to the Greek word for grace, charis, as well as the word for joy, chara. Thus, chairo, charis, chara. Rejoice, grace, joy. They're all related in meaning. Therefore, joy in its fullest sense, my friends, this is what it's all about, is to experience the grace of God. The person who experiences the life and love of God is happy, happy with an intensity of spirit which causes the heart to rejoice. John the Baptist had this joy. He came, St. John the Evangelist tells us, for testimony, to testify to the light. This light is the presence of God who dwells in unapproachable light. He was sent by God, which could only mean that John himself experienced the grace of God. And indeed he did, even from his mother's womb. Here we recall that in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, John the Baptist leapt for joy at the sound of Mary's greeting at the visitation. And that grace, that share of God's divine life, would in time be renewed and mature in the Baptist, so that he would willingly accept his exalted vocation as the precursor, and thus fulfill Isaiah's prophecy, which John himself cites. Thus, even though the task of calling the people to repentance, of preparing the way of the Lord, was urgent, John experienced delight to do the work of God. John experienced true joy. And this was manifested above all by the Baptist's humility. Humility. Here it comes again, humility. John was a famous figure in this period of history, and his fame would spread throughout the Jewish diaspora in the Mediterranean world. After Pentecost, Christ's disciples would meet Jews who knew of John before they ever heard of Jesus. So John had a measure of prestige among the people. That's why the evangelist mentions that Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to John. They were important people. But John tells them he is not the Christ. The Messiah, which many were expecting to appear imminently. Instead, he says, there is one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. In other words, John is saying that the Messiah is so great that I am unworthy to be his slave. Think of that. That's humility. Here we have an important lesson of the spiritual life. Joy comes to us, my friends. Joy comes to us through humility. Humility is the key, so to speak, the key that opens the heart and the soul to receive the grace of God. Only a humble person is able to delight in the grace of God. John was able to perform his mission joyfully because he realized that he was unworthy of it. That he was unworthy of it. This just happens to remind me of an encounter that St. John Paul II, when he was Pope, had an encounter with bishops who were there for the ad limina, you know. And with John Paul and probably Francis, I'm not sure though, but with John Paul, each bishop would have one-on-one time with Pope John Paul. One-on-one time, each bishop. So however large the group was or small, didn't make a difference. He's going to have one-on-one time with Pope John Paul to meet the Pope, to talk to the Pope. The Pope would ask him questions, you know. And so, but at the end, after these days of meeting with the Holy Father and meeting the, you know, the senior prelates in the Vatican, you know, they come together and as a group, and they have probably this gathering of dinner or some such thing. But the point is this: when the Pope took his leave from this one group of bishops, right, he's ready to leave, one bishop cried out, "You are a great Pope. You are a great Pope." And Pope John Paul simply said, "I am the Lord's unworthy servant." And he walked away from them. He walked away. He walked away alone. "You are a great Pope." "No," he says, "I am an unworthy servant." That's joy. That's joy. So Pope John, so St. John the Baptist, rather, would say to himself, who am I that God could call me to such a great task? And he would express his feelings on the matter when Jesus finally appeared on the scene by saying, "He must increase and I must decrease." Indeed, John's task would end. The Messiah did come. Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled the oracle which we heard in today's first reading from the book of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." Jesus is the Christ, God's anointed. Because he is God's Son, he manifested the light of God in a singular way. That light is the Word which illumines all people. It is above all a word of hope, glad tidings to the poor, because only the poor, meaning the humble, will accept his Word in all its fullness. And my three dear candidates tonight for the catechumenate, that's what we desire for you. That you accept God's Word in all its fullness as you enter this immediate preparation for baptism, to receive that great sacrament of God's life and his love. Christ has shared his anointing with us in baptism and confirmation, my friends, so that we may be the beloved of God and truly rejoice in this unmerited gift. Recognizing Christ's abundant generosity, the words of the Old Testament oracle should apply to each one of us. "I rejoice heartily in the Lord. In my God is the joy of my soul." In my God is the joy of my soul. It is therefore right that as we come to the midpoint of Advent, this season of expectation and longing for the Lord's coming, we should rejoice, each one saying, "My soul rejoices in my God." No matter what the present circumstances of our lives may be, and we know we're called to live in this particular time of great difficulty, it seems interminable. This difficulty, this of the coronavirus, challenging all of us to fidelity, perseverance, to keep going, right? No matter what the circumstance, whether it's that or anything else, I mean, that's just for all of us, right? But each one of us has challenges in our lives. Each one of us must have the cross. And no matter what it is, we rejoice because God is with us. That's the key. What we must remember above all else, God is with us. Again and again, Christ reaffirms this in the sacraments, most especially in the Eucharist. But we, for our part, must reaffirm our joy in experiencing that presence. The first coming of Christ, his incarnation and the redemption, was God's definitive sign, his definitive sign that he will never abandon us, never. His second coming in glory will be the consummation of all for which we hope. Until that day, my friends, we have only to heed the words of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And refrain from every kind of evil. Let us never forget that joy, authentic joy, is a treasure. A treasure. Only by offending God can we lose it. So, dear brothers and sisters, if each one of us can say, "My soul rejoices in my God," then we will have peace. Peace. So, my friends, let us entrust these reflections to the intercession of St. John the Baptist, one of the key patrons of the Church in the Advent season and always, really. By the grace of God, he was a powerful witness to the truth. A witness to truth, love, and the holiness of God. Like him, may we too give testimony to the light of Christ by our humble acceptance of the gospel and our resolve to live it every day of our lives.